This is the Wisdom Podcast.
Welcome to the Wisdom Podcast. I'm Daniel Aiken, and for this episode, I had the pleasure of speaking with Tukul Dakpo Rinpoche, revered teacher in the Nyingma School of Tibetan Buddhism. Rinpoche is also founder of the Dana Kosha Dharma Center in Finland. As part of a special Facebook Live event here in Cambridge, Massachusetts, I asked Rinpoche about the lives of his earlier incarnations, namely the legendary Rogsa Sonam Pelge, a hidden yogi from eastern Tibet. For the event, Rinpoche also offered an oral transmission of Buddhahood in this life, an influential text in the Dzogchen tradition of Tibetan Buddhism. Rinpoche shares his insights on this particular transmission, as well as the tradition of transmission in the Nyingma lineage. I hope you enjoy the conversation. I believe you were the third tuku in this tuku line.
Right.
So I was wondering if you could speak a little bit about the first in the line of tukus. I believe that this lama was called like a hidden yogi, right? And was a student of Dodrupchen Rinpoche. So I was hoping you could talk a little bit about the first tuku in your line.
So Rogsa Sonam Pelge, he born in East Tibet, but he is one of the students of first Dodrupchen Rinpoche, and he had been many years. And then later on, like meanwhile, when he followed the first Dodrupchen Rinpoche, and then Dodrupchen Tse and Rogsa Sonam Pelge, they have become a very good kind of Dharma friend. So followed the Dodrupchen Rinpoche, and same time also Dodrupchen Tse, Yeshi Dodje, they kind of practicing together, and then they went all over the like important places in east part of the Tibetan, and also later on in central Tibet in Lhasa and etc. So all this during that together, they are just practicing. And in Dodrupchen Tse's biography, you can find many of his Mahasiddhas, kind of his different activities, like a little bit extraordinary than normal. So later on, then he kind of, Dodrupchen Tse Rinpoche said that you should go to the Dzashuka. You know, Dzashuka is like where they like great master Zapata Rinpoche and Mugam Rinpoche, etc. You know, those are the region, born region of the Dzashuka. So Dodrupchen Tse told him that you should go to the Dzashuka and your activity is there. And then later on he came to Dzashuka. And when he came to Dzashuka, then Zapata Rinpoche and they are met together. So in the biography of the Zapatus Rinpoche's biography, and they mentioned that he receiving most of the salon. You know, what's English called salon?
Like pranayama, like winds and
channels.
Yeah, channels.
So Zapata Rinpoche actually receiving what is teaching from him, and he receiving that teaching from the Jimeling, the first Dodrupchen Rinpoche. And Dodrupchen Rinpoche receiving from Jimelingba. So later, I think on the Zapata Rinpoche, he sending letters to one of the monastery, and he says that Tsalong lineage, and when Jimelingba's time, they spread everywhere, but it, at these times, only Rogsa Pelge has this lineage. So everyone, you should go to receiving Tsalong teaching from him. So he was like kind of Tsalong master. So why they call Tsalong? Tsalong means like Mahasiddha, but more for Mahasiddha of the Tsa and Long. So therefore, local people talking, he can sit on sky, you know, and move around, you know, without touching like earth and like that. So, and that was, I think he was one of the a great kind of practitioner at that time. Mm.
So Rinpoche, he was, you're saying he was a spiritual brother of Dogen Tse Rinpoche?
Yes.
Yeah. And then Dogen Tse was a, Dogen Tse Rinpoche was a teacher of Patro Rinpoche, right?
Dogen Tse is actually a reincarnation of the Jime Lingpa, and he has many students.
Mm-hmm.
He has many students.
Okay, Dogen Tse is a reincarnation of Rinpoche, Jime Lingpa.
Yes, Jime Lingpa, yeah, yeah. Which Dogen Rinpoche recognized him as Jime Lingpa's reincarnation.
And then, so it seems you were saying that a title given to this, the first tukul is called Drupwang, right?
Yes, yes.
And the reason he was given this title Drupwang is because he showed many special feats.
Right.
Like it seems like he could, they say he could levitate, like you said, in the sky.
Yes, yes,
yeah,
he can
so
lift, like,
lift
sit
in the
like sky.
Sky
and also move without any touch on the earth and etc. I think those are the more, when they have practicing of the channel and wind,
yeah,
and it could happen.
Yeah.
So then local people call it Drupwang.
Uh-huh.
So
very nice. And so this is Salong of the Longchen Ningtik.
Right, right.
Okay.
Salong lineage from Longchen Ningtik.
Yeah. And then also I heard that some sort of lapab happened, like with the Simamuka Dakini would come and into his body.
Right, right.
What is this? How does this work? And what does this mean?
I think it's that biograph of the Dogen Tse is kind of self biograph, mm-hmm. And there's many kind of different, many, you know, kind of amazing how you say it, biography or mm-hmm. story, whatever. So when actually we make sadhanas, we always invocation, you know, invocation.
Mm-hmm.
That is
mm-hmm.
that is one of the main important of the sadhanas.
Mm.
So whenever they do some drupchens,
mm.
and then drupchen the invocation, whatever he does, you know, invoke.
Yeah, I guess.
Mm, I guess so.
Ask the deities to come.
Yeah, they come. And then many of the his retainees also get some kind of wisdom came in their body.
Yeah.
So this Drupwang Rosa has also this many times happening, the Singhamukha kind of entered in his body and mm-hmm. give some future, what he can do and what he cannot do and etc. So like more, he gives some predicting in futures when the deities come into his bodies.
The Singhamukha is considered enlightened deity or worldly deity?
I think Singhamukha is very important deity of the Dakinis.
And Longchen Ningtik.
Not only Longchen Ningtik, but many Tema teachers we have, like for example, Kunju Hindu and or many others, there is like Singhamukha's practice, like more secret Dakinis.
Yeah. So then Rinpoche, so that's like quite an amazing person, right? This. And then so Tuku in your line has a connection with the fifth Dzogchen Rinpoche, correct? And Dzogchen monasteries, is that right?
Right, right, right. So, second reincarnation of the Rosa Sonampage, actually, this Dzogchen Rinpoche's monastery called Gegong Monastery.
Mm-hmm.
So, and then first one, he came to there, but he is not really stay in the monastery,
mm-hmm.
but he stay in the region of that monastery,
mm-hmm.
and then he was become Lama of the Dzogchen Rinpoche.
Mm-hmm.
So second reincarnation of the Rosa Sonampage, and then introd like a main kind of throw holder of that monastery by the fifth Dzogchen Rinpoche.
Mm-hmm.
That was Kembo Kumpal's, you know, one of the Gegong Monastery, one of the important Kembo from Gegong Monastery called Kembo Kumpal. Kembo Kumpal, may you heard about Kembo Kumpal because a few of his books already translated into English, such like a commentary of the this Buddhist way of life and etc. So he wrote that, you know, he was kind of introd a throne holder of the Gegong Monastery
mm-hmm.
by the fifth of Dzogchen Rinpoche.
Mm-hmm.
So both these master has really, they don't have kind of a really biography of for their lives, but you can find through different masters' biography, little bit.
Okay. So you learn through other biographies the story of these hidden yogis.
Right.
So then maybe we can talk about your training. So you trained at Mindraling Monastery, right?
Right, right.
So can you tell us a little bit about what life was like studying in Mindraling Monastery?
So I studied both Sutrayana and Tantric Yanas in Mindraling College in Dehradun in 9 years programs. So how you say, like it's I think in my life it's really changed, I could say. You know, like name of Tulku is one thing, but knowing of Buddha Dhamma is another thing. So knowing of Buddha Dhamma, you don't have to be Tulku, you don't have to be special. Everyone actually can learn if you have possibility to get some kind of good circumstances. So actually Mindraling Monastery is one of the very important monastery, not only Nyingma tradition but all, you know, Tibetan Buddhism. So I was really very lucky somehow at kind of able to join Mindraling College and able to study there like morning to evening, you know, year by year, like in 9 years. So like very intensive actually program. So if you compare like Western colleges and etc. And also on the top of that also very strict rules, which really we need, you know, like my behavior is without rule, it doesn't work. It didn't work.
Yeah.
With strict rules and also like kindness of the great masters, such like His Holiness Mindraling Trungpa Rinpoche, and we have many others in monastery, you know, like also great Khenpos. So from all of kindness or from them, so I have kind of able to complete it of the studies.
Then Rinpoche, I'm wondering what your favorite subject was when you studied at the monastery.
That is a big question. I think it's a favorite subject. It really depends. You know, when I learned first year subject was very interesting and also very difficult. But when you got more and second year, even more interesting. You know, we have like first year more learn Vinayanas, and second year more learn about Tsema. You know Tsema?
Epistemology.
And then also we have like this Buddhichaya Avataras.
Yeah.
And then third year more Madhyamikas and etc. And until 7 years we learn about Sutrayanas. So in Nyingma tradition we talk about great 13 books of the Indian masters, so written by Indian masters. So we have to complete it that in 7 years. And on the top of that also many Tibetan masters books, such like a book from Wang Rinpoche, and also in Mindraling lineage there's one of the scholar and also great master called Lochen Dhammachuru, and he have wonderful books on the Three Vows and a commentary on Three Vows and etc. So we have to learn many Tibetan master books. So in 7 years, every year we have five different subjects or five different books. So you have to learn and you have to pass the exam in order to join next year's. And then if you're failing one subject two times, you have to give up school. You cannot join anymore. So it's like a bit different than Westerners. Yes.
So Rinpoche, I think you all the subjects were your favorite.
I can say, I think it's very important. You know, actually, with this teaching, whatever you're speaking, it's very important. Like when they talk about generating, you know, And generous thing is one of the very important. This looks like there's nothing important than generosity. And when you talk about ethic, and then they say ethic is very important. There's nothing important than ethic, and etc. So similarity and all these subjects are really important. You know, then actually after 7 years, then we learn about authentic, like mainly Guhyanga authentic. And then there's also some Guru Rinpoche's this garland of the instructions of view, and also this eight explanation on the eight haircuts and etc. So each of those tantric teachings are, for my understanding, it's very little, but really it's very important. Like we can see, you know, if you more understanding, you have more interesting. So even my understanding is very small, but I have, you know, little interesting, you know, it's really like, I mean, like for me, it's very kind of interesting. So therefore, every books, every subjects are, you can say, really necessary. Yes, please.
So Ramachai, studying for 9 years, you know, so deeply, I was wondering, at the monastery, how do you balance study and practice?
That is a very good question. I think when we study, we think of just only studying, not much thinking of the practice, you know. But actually, practice, when I realized what is meaning of the practice, is like if your consciousness being with positive object, I think that is also kind of practice. So in this case, study itself actually practice, but your intention is not really practicing, like more studying. So, but if you, other hands, you know, like practicing means that we have to, you know, our consciousness be in the positive or thinking on the positive and etc. In this mean, and studying is also practice.
Very nice. I like that. Very nice.
Okay.
Then after the monastery, then after 9 years at the monastery, then what do you do then? So your studies are finished. Do you stay at the monastery? Do you leave the monastery? Do you do a retreat? What sort of is next?
Actually, if you have become belongs to the monastery, and you have to give your life to dedicate, all life you dedicate into monastery. That is best, like we call student.
Yeah.
You know, you have to dedicate all your life in monastery. That is very important kind of concession or ethic in the monastery. But for me, not that good. So therefore, I'm here today. So I just after graduate, I have taught 2 years in college.
Okay.
About what I learned.
Yeah.
And then meanwhile, or actually before graduate, I have traveling to Europe when we have vacation, you know, for a few weeks and etc. And then meanwhile, I also travel to the like Finland and Denmark and other like Belgium, etc. So then some of the Dharma practitioners or who have interesting Dharma from Finnish, and they really kind of invite me to they stay for a little bit longer to teach them. So then I kind of traveling to Finland and stay half years, and then half year go to India for a few years, like we did that. And then become, I have kind of more work in Western countries. So like these days I'm stay most time in Europe.
I was wondering how you ended up in Finland. So you spoke a little bit about Mindraling Rinpoche. What about other spiritual influences? What about other teachers that have influenced your spiritual life?
You mean
other lamas that have been your lamas?
So actually, like I have kind of receiving different teachings from the many different like masters, such really kind of great masters. For example, His Holiness Trichy Rinpoche, and His Holiness Penno Rinpoche, and then from Tibet, His Holiness Pema Kalzon Rinpoche, and then many other great masters. I have like receiving many different initiation, transformation, and etc. And then one of the very important is His Holiness the Thanom Setu Rinpoche, and he is one of the my teacher, and I receiving initiation of the Rinchen Tendo, and in Nyingmapa we call Kama and Terma. Kama means like oral transmission of the like big session of the teachings, and both Kama and Terma and many others, and then particularly instructions on Dzogchen teachings from him. So His Holiness Thanom Setu Rinpoche is one of the my great master who was already passed away in last year. And I think I have ever to follow him almost 8 years every summer, last his life. So not only receiving some teachings, but I have ever to kind of learn many things from him and his like pure, you know, how you say, life of the Buddha, you know, like it's really being him is something very important for me.
Can you tell me about his special qualities?
Oh, that really I cannot tell.
Special qualities.
You know, like he's pure monk,
yeah,
and great bodhisattva, and also great practitioner on the great profession.
Yeah.
So that I can see. You know, we can say like that, but then of course, like we cannot really measure. We say we cannot measure on the sky, right? Similarly
Very nice. So Rinpoche, now you are teaching Westerners. So then I was wondering what is that experience like for you? So I'm wondering about when someone comes up to you and says, what is Dzogchen? Then what do you say? How do you answer such a question? And maybe then you can talk a little bit about the 5-year program and the Semyang also.
Okay. I think Westerner and East people is big different. East people, like I mean Tibetan people, even they know something, but they always think they don't know anything about Dharma. They don't know anything. But Westerners, I don't say like everyone, but Westerners, maybe they don't know much, but they think, I know something. I know something, you know. In my personality, if someone says, oh, I know something, I think they don't need me. So this is my first thought, you know, really.
Yeah.
And then, you know, of course, I'm an Eastern part of the people. Even maybe I don't know much, or maybe I know a little bit, but I feel always I don't know anything. And then on the top of that, someone says, I know something, and what is this and that, then I feel, okay, maybe this is kind of not really, I have my responsibility, you know. Someone already knows something. This like this is kind of big differences, kind of I felt, you know. People talk very kind of confidently, proudly.
Yeah.
But of course now I have been many years around here and there, so I know maybe someone think that they knew something, then I know, okay, maybe he don't know, you know. Like now, little bit I try to tell them, and then how it is, and what is that, you know, if I ask kind of back question, then they got some kind of shocked, you know, then they think, okay, this I don't know, what is that, you know, then they kind of knew that maybe they don't know. And then we can discuss a little bit, and I kind of tell something what I have understood, and etc.
It's a tough job when you first have to explain that maybe the person doesn't know as much as they think they do before you can get started teaching, right? So how interesting. So then I was but you have some serious students in Finland, and they're studying a very in-depth program, and so I thought it might be nice to hear about
that program on mining comfort and ease.
Right. And then, you know, I have been in Finland like now more than 10 years. And beginning of the years, like I couldn't speak English almost at all. But whenever I get some translators, then I teach them how to really practicing, like for common thoughts and preliminary of the Longjian Hinti and etc. And many people kind of take very seriously from mainly from Finland, but also some other Scandinavians, and they have kind of practicing, for example, for common thoughts for years, and then try to finish each of the preliminaries, like from refugee, bodhicitta, Dojje Sempa, mandala offerings, and guru yogas, etc. Like they go very thoroughly. And so then I thought maybe I have to teach something for them. So I started 5 years course on the Senyung Asol written by Longchen Ranjampa. So sometimes they translate resting in nature of mind, and sometimes they said ease in awareness or something. So many translators have many different ideas, but in Tibetan word we call Semnyung Asol. And that book also kind of very detailed telling from, you know, this outer preliminary to up, like all nine yanas. So I kind of been thinking, this book is something really kind of very important. And at least in my field, if I can able to teach this to someone, I feel, okay, I have already taught everything, you know, like for me also, like myself also will be very happy. But then some of them, if they understood something from that book, you know, you can, we say like study and practice, you know, maybe can be work together and can be work separate, you know. Maybe someone like Westerners very good for the studies, you know. So if someone really knew this all from preliminary to up Dzogchen, like meaning of this and general information of the Buddhism, and you got also very good knowledge, you know. And then on the top of that, if someone can able to practice on it, and then very meaningful. So I thought this book is very important, you know. And Dalai Lama many times mentioned, His Holiness Dalai Lama many times mentioned about these books. And we have learned in our college. So I thought, you know, like we Westerners don't have time to learn many things, but we should make time for the learning of essence of the all, you know, from down or fundamental to up. So I choose that. And then best, or kind of mainly thinking of those who have been long-time practice with me, which also I knew them and they knew me very well. And we are kind of really kind of linked with Lama and students. So I started this 5 years program. So this year, kind of second year already finished it. And then next year we will start third year. And it takes in 5 years.
Wonderful. A complete teaching, yeah?
This is complete teaching. And one of the, I think, lamrim of the Nyima Pass. And in earlier Nyima Pass, they studied this, like us, like we do. But then later on, for example, this words of my perfect teacher is like part of that. You know, Zapata Rinpoche, he collected like preliminary parts, for example, into put into that. And similarly, of the many of kind of preliminary commentaries are essence of that. So like make shorter and put more essence. So then kind of people more choose like essential ones, you know.
So words of my perfect teacher is like the
essence of that. Yes, yeah, essence. Yes, and Jung also. It's many, many words from there. Yes, quotations.
So Rinpoche, tonight you'll be giving a transmission and of a particular text and called Luang. And I was hoping you could explain a little bit about the reason why in the Tibetan tradition there's this idea of transmission and Luang where you read a text.
I think in the Dzogchen teachings we talk about Ong,
long chit. Like chit means more explanations. Om means empowerment. And then we talk about long. So His Holiness Thanom Tse Rinpoche often says that those who hear sounds of the text, and we call it long, and those who understand of this text while, you know, Lama's reading, you know, or explanations, you understand of this meaning, and that we call explanations. And then through these teachings, if you get realization, and that is we call empowerments. So differences of the empowerment, explanation or instruction and long are like that. If you find realization through the teaching, and then we call empowerment. And if you understand something, then that is instructions or explanations or whatever. And then if you hear only sounds of the words, and that we call long. So, of course, most important is initiations. You know, we need to realization. That is all of our hopes. And then second is understanding, you know, of the meaning of the what you are really saying things. And then thirdly, you have to this transmission, you know, long. When you receive a long, it means your lineage is there, unbroken lineage. You know, like from Buddha to until now, these transmissions are we call unbroken lineage. So kind of giving right to read. So from the, you know, the my masters, they receive it, their masters. And so therefore they can teach us and giving instruction or transmission, etc. So we also can this transmission to future generations. So this is like more lineage, you know, unbroken lineage. And also kind of power to, or you have right to read, you know, from the lineage masters. If you don't have any lineage of the transmission, explanation, initiations, then you have no lineage. And there's no lineage and there's no blessing. And then no blessing, there's no benefit. So therefore, all idea of the learning and whatever is, we need to blessing. We need to open our mind. So this open our mind came through the blessing, through the lineage.
So long is related, the transmission is related to blessings of the lineage.
Right. Yeah. Permission to, you can read. Yeah.
And with Wang Long Tree, with empowerment, transmission, instructions, is there a particular relationship in terms of order that it usually happens, or it doesn't matter, you can get long and then tree, or?
I think normally we're receiving on initiation, and then supportings, you know, there's initiation text is very, very few, not much, you know, initiation text is very little, but then one kind of cycle of teaching, there's one initiation, but there is many support books. So those support books, then we need to receiving either initiation or explanations.
So then maybe, Rinpoche, you could talk a little bit about the text you'll be doing the lung for, a little bit of this text, Buddhahood in Islam. And then also, if you could explain when you received the lung, since this is part of a lineage.
Right. So this book, Buddhahood in this life, is part of the Gomba Sontal. You know, Gomba Sontal is one of the Dzogchen teaching or circle of the Dzogchen teaching and teacher from the Rinzen Godenpa. So before that, I would like to say something about, you know, when the Guru Penma Sambhava came to Tibet and he bring Dzogchen teachings, and he told to like his main disciples. So we talk about Je Mong Choksum. Je means king, Mong means like Mong means this subject. subjects, right? And then and talk means like his friend, like more Kandro Yekin Sodja. Talk is Kandro Yekin Sodja. And then Mong subject, for example, of the Mberosana, Hyong Thanapa, Doje Dunyam, etc. So he teach Dzogchen teaching to them. So Guru Rinpoche's Dzogchen teachings, like where he mainly gives to the Kandro Yekin Sodjas, we talk about Kandro Nyintiks. And then Gongpa Songta is mainly he talks to the king. So all North treasure is like for particular king's teachings. So this Dzogchen teaching is also mainly for the instruction to the king of the Tibetan, King Trisong Desen. So therefore, this cycle of this teaching we call Gongpa Songta.
And actually in
North treasure, there's many others, but these are more part of the Dzogchen teachings. So, and this teaching, actually, I have been receiving few times. And then particular this teaching also, I receiving this teaching in USA, you know, in the Lotus Garden. And Her Eminence Mandolin Jason Khandro Rinpoche, and he invited His Holiness Thanglong Tsedu Rinpoche to USA. In 2010, it was really very, very great happening, you know, great, great happening. For example, when Guru Rinpoche, like, you know, kings and Kandro Yekin Sodjas, they invite Guru Rinpoche to Tibet and teach Dzogchen teaching, and then translators, they're translating into the Tibetan language. Similarity, you know, His Holiness is really nothing different than Guru Rinpoche. And then, you know, Her Eminence Mandolin Jason Khandro Rinpoche is like Yeshin Sodja, great wisdom Rakini. And kind of their cooperation somehow, you know. And I think many fortunate Americans, they have able to receiving these teachings, you know, not only transmissions, but instructions, and empowerments and everything. So why, you know, when I remember of this happening, it's something amazing for, you know, USA. You know, it's great happening, I think, at that time. So His Holiness, I think, first time he gave Gongpa Songta in USA, and translator was Mandolin Jason Khandro Rinpoche. So it's like big things happened. So then afterwards, that Malcolm Smith was there, and then he translated this into English after he receiving initiations and everything. And I thought this, then he asked me that I should give some transmissions. I thought it's very kind of important, you know. And of course, those who have already receiving transmission from His Holiness, you don't have to, but those who new ones, maybe I can give transmission, because now like His Holiness is already passed away, and little bit like also we have responsibility to kind of carry these teachings since we receiving from him, permission from him, and etc.
So Rinpoche, I thought we'd finish with one final question, and I was wondering if you could give some advice to people once they have taken the transmission. What should they do, think about? Of course, besides buying the book, but...
I think they have to follow the exactly what book says. So that is my advice, right? I think in the Sutrayana teachings, we use more faculties, you know, more intellectuals, which is very important also. You know, in Sutrayana teachings, the mainly like our negative thoughts are kind of change into the positive thoughts. You know, negative thoughts change into the positive thought is main purpose of the Sutrayana teachings. So therefore, whenever we learn something in Sutrayana, and then we use more intellectual and more analyze and more really understand exactly what this is. These are the one of the very important. But then in terms of the Dzogchen teachings, there is a, we have to kind of eliminate both positive thoughts and also negative thoughts, you know. So therefore, we don't have to make kind of more thoughts, you know. You don't have to more kind of sharp thoughts. More important, important is that we say in the Dzogchen teaching, you know, we have to, our path, like wisdom path, you know, yihi lam dhikhebas. What does it mean? Yihi lam dhikheba.
The awareness of yihi lam, the path of wisdom.
Okay. And then Sutrayana we say sem lam dhikheba.
The awareness of the path of mind.
Right. So mind, when the sem lam dhikhe, when the mind as a path, we need to kind of transform all our negative thoughts into positive thought. That is main purpose. But when you yihi lam dhikhe, and we need to eliminate both positive thoughts and negative thoughts, you know, more we have to go beyond that. So therefore, when the terms of the Dzogchen teachings, we have used more really devotion and confidence on the lineage masters, and also like we have to use more inner awareness rather like intellectual things. So you have to understand that, you know, two things are kind of two kind of different methods.
Thank you very much, Rinpoche.
I hope you enjoyed this conversation. On the next Wisdom Podcast, I speak with Dr. Karen Derris, scholar of South and Southeast Asian Buddhist traditions. Karen is one of the editors of the 17th Karmapa's book, Interconnected, Embracing Life in Our Global Society. The paperback edition is coming out in March 2018. In this episode, Karen shares her experiences working with His Holiness the Karmapa for many years and the profound impact their relationship has had on her life.
It was remarkable to see his thinking unfold in real time, and then, you know, stepping back and processing what I had just heard and seeing the moves he was making, you know, as a kind of incredibly responsive teacher who was, there were questions being posed to him and he could draw them in, sit with them, and respond in ways that were just breathtakingly brilliant. It was really exciting, and I felt so, you know, this is both as a human being and as a scholar and a student of Buddhism, that I was experiencing something so profound to see how someone like His Holiness Karmapa generates the Dharma and shares it is really outstanding. I'd never experienced something like that before. And I remember after the first teaching saying to Damsha, I feel like I'm inside a sutra.